want to talk about the Nixon presidency. And I'm sitting here at the Lenore Aquatic Center while my son is having practice, so it might be a little loud, but I'll do my best to keep my mouth towards the speaker, and hopefully we'll make some headway. You know, remember we talked about how Richard Nixon was, seen as the law and order president. He was seen as an alternative to the Great Society initiatives. And he also said he had a secret plan to win the war. Richard Nixon was had been a member of Congress, coming in at the same time that John Kennedy had. He's a seasoned politician. He's very well read. He understands foreign policy. In fact, he understands it so much that he wants to run it through the White House. He wants to bypass the Secretary of State and the Secretary of Defense and run it through the White House. And that's exactly what will happen. Richard Nixon is a conservative. He believes in something called New Federalism. And New Federalism was a way to have revenue sharing with from the federal government to the states. In other words, the states will get some money in a block, and they will get to decide how they can spend it. So this is a very popular decision during this particular time. So remember Nixon and his New Federalism. And one of the highlights of New Federalism was revenue sharing. Nixon really tried to work with a Southern strategy. And the Southern strategy basically played to Southern interests. For example, going slow on the integration of schools, and also trying to support it, trying to nominate and get through the Senate several Southern Supreme Court nominees. So not all of that worked, but Nixon's first term, the Vietnam War is going to be winding down, and also in his first term, you have a case like Swan versus Charlotte Mack in 1972, which will allow for busing as a means to desegregate schools. So again, that's Swan versus Charlotte Mack in 1972. You know, when Richard Nixon announces in 1973 that there'll be peace with honor, his numbers are quite high. At home, the United States support for Israel in the Yom Kippur War has driven up gas prices. There'll be a very, very, very slow economy during this particular time. And there'll be something called stagflation. Stagflation means a slow economy, high inflation. And basically, stagflation's gonna gnaw at and dog your Republican presidents during the 70s, Nixon and Ford, and also Mr. Carter, Jimmy Carter, Democratic president from 1976 to 1980. Well, you know, what was Richard Nixon's plan to combat stagflation? To combat rising oil prices, and his solution was to declare a wage and price freeze. Think about it. It's going to be very hard to lower interest rates in the 1970s. Unemployment's a problem. The economy's a problem. And then you declare a wage and price freeze. So it's going to be tough for a lot of people in the 1970s. By 1973, the Vietnam War ends. Nixon had won re-election handily against George McGovern in 1972. But by 1972, there is the knowledge of the break-in at the Democratic National Committee headquarters in Washington, D.C. And when the people who are doing the break-in were caught, there's a realization that these folks are not just your average day robber. These folks have special bugging equipment. And so for the next 2 years, from 1972 to 1974, you're going to have the question of how much does the president know in the Watergate break-in? You know, and other questions like, did he orchestrate it? So there'll be a special prosecutor called in. There'll be senators and congressmen on a committee to investigate Watergate, as it comes to be called. You know, Watergate was fueled by the Washington Post. You had two of the, still the greatest reporters in American history, Bob Woodard and Carl Bernstein. Both Woodard and Bernstein are still writing to this day. And they get a little help by an FBI informant who continues to call the newspaper and offer them hints and storylines about Watergate. So for, you know, between 1972 and 1974, the country will, you know, learn more and more about things like a presidential taping system in the White House. Other presidents had had them, but this one becomes increasingly more interesting because could they reveal how much the president knew about the Watergate break-ins. Nixon will be forced by the Supreme Court order, U.S. versus Nixon, to turn over his tapes. He will turn over many of them, but not all of them. And then later, there'll be three articles of impeachment drawn up against him, and that will force him to resign. Before he resigns, his own vice president, Spiro Agnew, had resigned. And so Nixon was able to appoint as vice president Gerald Ford, who had been a 25-year veteran of the House of Representatives. So Gerald Ford is going to end up becoming the only unelected vice president and only unelected president back-to-back. And Gerald Ford had a lot of integrity, and it was a great pick. You know, what brings Richard Nixon down ultimately is the idea that he has an enemies list. It's the idea and the paranoia that people are out to get him. Undoubtedly, Richard Nixon was a great statesman, and Henry Kissinger was another able statesman, Nixon's national security advisor and later Secretary of State. There's no question that these two men undoubtedly helped to end the Vietnam War and win peace with honor. However, Nixon's paranoia and the keeping of an enemies list is going to be a very, very big problem. Later on, Richard Nixon will say, as he's leaving the White House, "Others may hate you, but if you hate them back, they win and you destroy yourself." Nixon learned the hard way through Watergate, through the coverage of the Washington Post, Woodard and Bernstein, through the issue of the tapes and whether or not Nixon would need to turn over the tapes. At one point, Nixon tried to claim executive privilege, calling the tapes a matter of national security, although the Supreme Court in U.S. versus Nixon in 1974 basically said absolutely not, that he had to turn over the tapes. Nixon at one point also fires the special prosecutor, Archibald Cox, in something called the Saturday Night Massacre. Watergate is just something that Richard Nixon cannot get away from. And so the Watergate Commission will draw up three articles of impeachment against him, and Richard Nixon will be the only president in American history ever to resign the presidency. And how does Gerald Ford, the new president who gets inaugurated as the Nixons leave Washington, how does he define it? Our long national nightmare is over. You know, what if Richard Nixon had not had Watergate? He was a master of foreign policy. In 1972, Richard Nixon travels to China, to Beijing, into the heart of communist China, to meet with Chinese officials, Mao Zedong and Zhou Enlai. This was called the week that changed the world. And it led to things like the Panda Exchange between the United States and China. It also led to cultural exchanges between the United States and China. Also, Richard Nixon traveled to Moscow in the heart of the Soviet Union and engaged the Russian Premier Leonid Brezhnev. This led to something called the Strategic Arms Limitation Treaty. These were masterstrokes of a president engaging the enemy, and it led to a period of something called détente, which meant an easing of tension in the Cold War. Unfortunately, by the end of the 1970s, the easing of tension in the Cold War will be ratcheted back up under the presidency of Jimmy Carter. When Richard Nixon resigns, Gerald Ford will take over. Gerald Ford will end up pardoning Richard Nixon for the Watergate scandal. And he does this because he needs to move the country forward. Stagflation, terrible economy, lots of inflation, the thought of whether or not North Vietnam was going to reinvade South Vietnam. These were things on Ford's plate, and Ford decided the best thing to do to move the country forward was to pardon Richard Nixon. He caught a lot of flack for that, and it may have been the reason why he nearly lost the 1976 election to Jimmy Carter. But yet, upon his death, almost every historian counted the pardon of Richard Nixon as his most fantastic feat and the right thing to have done. So we'll continue in this next lecture on the 70s in general.